Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Bye. the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God, who is first in my life, and to the Spirit of God that abides in his early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation GENELATION. Generation means we have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. The way we honor the past, by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. I established the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, junior trustees, and training them in the fear of the Lord and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Block Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. Somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just very briefly, and I call this a drive-by this morning, as we approach the ending of a wonderful year that the Lord has given unto us. Out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, and I'm going to read just two verses, 16 and 17. Matthew 6, 16 and 17. If you're with me, say amen. And if you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. That's enough. Let the church say amen. This text says to us, as it hinges on the piece that Jesus had just given about prayer, and if you notice that prior to this text, that Jesus says that we ought to pray in our own secret closets. And we find that right on the hinges of that piece of information about prayer, that Jesus talks about fasting. Now please let me make this sure and clear this morning. The problem is not fasting. However, it is the attitude that is connected to the act of fasting. As a matter of fact, what I hear my God saying, there's a group of folks out there. I'm going to give you my text in a minute. There's a group of folks out there, and when they fast, of course, it is the right thing to do. However, their faces are so twisted, and their behavior is so different that everyone knows that you are on the fast. Somebody say mercy. I'm going somewhere with this. In other words, they want to be seen rather than fast, out of the commitment, devotion, and connection in relationship to God. And so in reading this portion of the Word of God found in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 16 and 17, I feel like preaching, fix your face. Look at somebody, if you will, please, and tell them for me, fix your face. Come on and let's have church. My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text called Fix Your Face, I'm convinced today, without a doubt, that fasting is a necessary need in our spiritual development. As a matter of fact, I want to suggest to you, it's in the Word of God that teaches you and I that fasting gives power to the life of the believer. Now, I know we live in this new age that teaches it doesn't take all of that. And I don't know about you, but I still believe God's word and teaching of the old school. And fasting is a biblical principle taught to me by men and women of the Most High God. Somebody say principle. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Jesus today, and Jesus made it very clear to me that if you really want to know how to handle demonic and spiritual warfare, the only proven way is through prayer and fasting. Somebody say glory. Mm-hmm. The paradigm here goes together, prayer and fasting. No doubt makes the devil nervous if done correctly, and it sure enough will settle a satanic attack on you and I. Somebody say amen. Mm-hmm. If you will, let me try and teach you this morning just a few things to help you understand how important it is for you to fix your faith. Uh-huh. Somebody say it again, fix your faith. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and prayer and fasting all goes together. Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so. Fasting. Fasting in the Old Testament was to be understood to abstain from food. In other words, it was taught not to eat from sunrise to sunset. And one thing for sure that was not taught from the Old Testament practice of fasting, it was not about losing weight. Somebody say, ouch, right there. Uh-huh. However, the biblical principle of fasting had everything to do with biblical development. It was not done every day, but concurred with the purpose. Somebody say purpose. One of the purposes of fasting expresses a feeling. In other words, what you were going through or the trial and tribulation you were in help you to refocus and give you the strength to climb and to refocus your intensity and relationship unto God. Now, another way to look at it is the things I thought I needed and some things I thought I wanted, I didn't need them because what I really needed was God. Somebody say purpose. Uh-huh. Second purpose, fasting will prove to you and I that you can live without some stuff. Oh, yeah. Somebody say stuff. Uh-huh. When I began to fast, I thought I couldn't live without chicken. I thought I couldn't live without collard greens. I thought I couldn't live without macaroni and cheese. However, I learned what I can't live without. If I never get another piece of chicken, whether it's fried, baked, or broiled, and I understand that I can never stop you from being Mr. or Mrs. Chicken. Somebody talk back to me, but I can't live without Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said, bye-bye, chicken. I know what I need. Fasting is necessary in my life. I can handle folks not liking me. I can handle folks leaving me. I can handle not having a big house. I can handle not having a Cadillac. I can even handle not having a husband, but give me Jesus. But fasting will help you and I focus on what you can really do and live without. Somebody say glory. I need to try to close before I start crying. This has been a great year for me. God knows it's been a change in my life. Third purpose. When I fast, it will help you and I not to control other folks, but control you. Mm-hmm. Some of you mad right now. The church won't do what you say do. The officers won't serve the way you think. They should listen. It's not about others when you fast. It should be all about you. I heard the songwriter record, it's me. Mm. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I can't control you liking me, but I can control how I respond to your behavior toward me. I can't control what you say to me, but I can control what I say back to you. Fasting teaches me control and how to hold my peace. Ha! And let God fight my battles, for he will do a TKO in a flash on my behalf. Somebody say that. I just know that's right. Uh-huh. Fix your face. I got to close. But I did serve to you that this is a drive-by. Somebody say control. For many of us, from the pulpit to the door, need to practice more control. But I do declare unto you this morning, if you practice control of your flesh, your church will grow. Uh-huh. If you fix your face, your marriage will grow. If you fix your face, your gifts will begin to develop. My Lord. My last purpose of sharing with you about fixing your face teaches me that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Fasting teaches me to get closer to God. And the closer I get, the more I understand or without letting everybody know what I'm doing, if I can just ask, it shall be given unto me. And the more I sacrifice, and the more I come before God about me, I understand there is no more blood sacrifices that's needed to be given, because the final sacrifice has been given by Jesus. I say it again, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I'm willing to give the sacrifice of praise. The text says, in essence, fix your face. In other words, stop wearing your emotions and feelings on your face. Because your face expresses your countenance, and your face represents your joy. If you never look happy, I wouldn't want to serve the God you serve. If you never look joyous, I wouldn't want to join your church. Fix your face. For when you read the scripture, it says, learn to be content in whatever state you're in. And so when I turn my face like flint and not show emotions or self to prove to others my sacrifice unto the Lord, it is then that I learn only some things come by fasting and prayer. And the results from fasting is not to let everyone know what you're doing or when you're doing it. However, the connection you made with the God that woke you up this morning and that will put you to sleep tonight, and the personal commitment you received from the changes you made with yourself. And so I stopped by this morning to tell you, fix your face, wash your face, and anoint your head with oil. But it is not the attention that you want, but the results from the Almighty God. For the word says, when ye fast, be not like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, but fix your face. Let the church say amen. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then I introduce to some and present to others, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. And all you got to do is just confess with your mouth and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Listen, you're going to have to do some work then. You're going to have to find a church that's not only preaching but practicing the word of God. And I stopped by this morning to tell you there is no perfect church and there is no perfect pastor, male or female. And when you arrive, it wouldn't be perfect anymore anyhow. Somebody say amen right there. But listen, God's got a plan for your life, and the plan is for you to prosper and not fail. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher. Certainly, it's been a pleasure to serve you this year. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done, what he's going to do, and for what he's doing right now. Blog Talk family, may God bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Over. I established the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, junior trustees, and training them in the fear of the Lord and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship without any music from time to time, so that our church will never get caught up with the method and miss the message. Block Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. Somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just very briefly, and I call this a drive-by this morning, as we approach the ending of a wonderful year that the Lord has given unto us. Out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, and I'm going to read just two verses, 16 and 17. Matthew 6, 16 and 17. If you're with me, say amen. And if you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads as thus: Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. That's enough. Let the church say amen. This text says to us, as it hinges on the piece that Jesus had just given about prayer. And if you notice that prior to this text, that Jesus says that we ought to pray in our own secret closets. And we find that right on the hinges of that piece of information about prayer, that Jesus talks about fasting. Now please let me make this sure and clear this morning. The problem is not fasting. However, it is the attitude that is connected to the act of fasting. As a matter of fact, what I hear my God saying, there's a group of folks out there. I'm going to give you my text in a minute. There's a group of folks out there, and when they fast, of course, it is the right thing to do. However, their faces are so twisted, and their behavior is so different that everyone knows that you are on the fast. Somebody say mercy. I'm going somewhere with this. In other words, they want to be seen rather than fast, out of the commitment, devotion, and connection in relationship to God. And so in reading this portion of the Word of God found in Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 16 and 17, I feel like preaching, fix your face. Look at somebody, if you will, please, and tell them for me, fix your face. Come on and let's have church. My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text called Fix Your Face, I'm convinced today, without a doubt, that fasting is a necessary need in our spiritual development. As a matter of fact, I want to suggest to you, it's in the Word of God that teaches you and I that fasting gives power to the life of the believer. Now, I know we live in this new age that teaches it doesn't take all of that. And I don't know about you, but I still believe God's word and teaching of the old school. And fasting is a biblical principle taught to me by men and women of the Most High God. Somebody say principle. I was talking to Jesus today, and Jesus made it very clear to me that if you really want to know how to handle demonic and spiritual warfare, the only proven way is through prayer and fasting. Somebody say glory. The paradigm here goes together. Prayer and fasting, no doubt, makes the devil nervous if done correctly, and it sure enough will settle a satanic attack on you and I. Somebody say amen. If you will, let me try and teach you this morning just a few things to help you understand how important it is for you to fix your face. Somebody say it again, fix your face. in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and prayer and fasting all goes together. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Fasting. Fasting in the Old Testament was to be understood to abstain from food. In other words, it was taught not to eat from sunrise to sunset. And one thing for sure that was not taught from the Old Testament practice of fasting, it was not about losing weight. Somebody say ouch right there. However, the biblical principle of fasting had everything to do with biblical development. It was not done every day, but concurred with the purpose. Somebody say purpose. One of the purposes of fasting expresses a feeling. In other words, what you were going through or the trial and tribulation you were in help you to refocus and give you the strength to climb and to refocus your intensity and relationship unto God. Now, another way to look at it is the things I thought I needed and some things I thought I wanted, I didn't need them because what I really needed was God. Somebody say purpose. Second purpose. Fasting will prove to you and I that you can live without some stuff. Oh, yeah. Somebody say stuff. When I began to fast, I thought I couldn't live without chicken. I thought I couldn't live without collard greens. I thought I couldn't live without macaroni and cheese. However, I learned what I can't live without. If I never get another piece of chicken, whether it's fried, baked, or broiled, and I understand that I can never stop you from being Mr. or Mrs. Chicken. Somebody talk back to me, but I can't live without Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody said, bye-bye, chicken. I know what I need. Fasting is necessary in my life. I can handle folks not liking me. I can handle folks leaving me. I can handle not having a big house. I can handle not having a Cadillac. I can even handle not having a husband, but give me Jesus. But fasting will help you and I focus on what you can really do and live without. Somebody say glory. I need to try to close before I start crying. This has been a great year for me. God knows it's been a change in my life. Third purpose. When I fast, it will help you and I not to control other folks, but control you. Some of you mad right now. The church won't do what you say do. The officers won't serve the way you think. They should listen. It's not about others when you fast. It should be all about you. I heard a songwriter record, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I can't control you liking me, but I can control how I respond to your behavior toward me. I can't control what you say to me, but I can control what I say back to you. Fasting teaches me control and how to hold my peace. Ha! And let God fight my battles, for he will do a TKO in a flash on my behalf. Somebody say that. I just know that's right. Fix your face. I got to close. But I did serve to you that this is a drive-by. Somebody say control. For many of us, from the pulpit to the door, need to practice more control. For I do declare unto you this morning, if you practice control of your flesh, your church will grow. If you fix your face, your marriage will grow. If you fix your face, your gifts will begin to develop. My Lord. My last purpose of sharing with you about fixing your face teaches me that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Fasting teaches me to get closer to God. And the closer I get, the more I understand, without letting everybody know what I'm doing, if I can just ask, it shall be given unto me. And the more I sacrifice, and the more I come before God about me, I understand there is no more blood sacrifices that's needed to be given because the final sacrifice has been given by Jesus. I say it again, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And I'm willing to give the sacrifice of praise. The text says, in essence, fix your face. In other words, stop wearing your emotions and feelings on your face. Because your face expresses your countenance. And your face represents your joy. If you never look happy, I wouldn't want to serve the God you serve. If you never look joyous, I wouldn't want to join your church. Fix your face. For when you read the scripture, it says, learn to be content in whatever state you're in. And so when I turn my face like flint and not show emotions or self to prove to others my sacrifice unto the Lord, it is then that I learn only some things come by fasting and prayer. And the result from fasting is not to let everyone know what you're doing or when you're doing it. However, the connection you made with the God that woke you up this morning and that will put you to sleep tonight, and the personal commitment you received from the changes you made with yourself. And so I stopped by this morning to tell you, fix your face, wash your face, and anoint your head with oil. But it is not the attention that you want, but the results from the Almighty God. For the word says, when ye fast, be not like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, but fix your face. Let the church say amen. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then I introduce to some and present to others, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. And all you got to do is just confess with your mouth and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Listen, you're going to have to do some work then. You're going to have to find a church that's not only preaching but practicing the word of God. And I stopped by this morning to tell you there is no perfect church and there is no perfect pastor, male or female. And when you arrive, it wouldn't be perfect anymore anyhow. Somebody say amen right there. But listen, God's got a plan for your life, and the plan is for you to prosper and not fail. Listen, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher. Certainly it's been a pleasure to serve you this year. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done, what he's going to do, and for what he's doing right now. Blog Talk family, may God bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio.